John chapter 21. Then Peter, turning around, saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following, who also had leaned on his breast at the supper, and said, "Lord, who is the one who betrays you?" Peter, seeing him, said to Jesus, "But Lord, what about this man?" Jesus said to him, "If I will that he remain till I come, what is that to you? You follow me." Then this saying went out among the brethren that this disciple would not die. Yet Jesus did not say to him that he would not die, but, "If I will that he remain till I come, what is that to you?" What is Jesus telling Peter? He's telling him, "Mind your own business, Peter. Mind your own business." And that's what I want to talk about this morning, where we need to mind our own business. If you have any questions about anything that I say or that we do here or teach, feel free to ask, and we'll be glad to study with you. Again, we're thankful for visitors with us this morning. I want to go ahead and jump in to this lesson. We hear so many people today say, mind your own business, and sometimes it's to justify what they're doing. They want to keep doing what they're doing, but I want us to look at some subjects from the Bible where God has told us something to do and where we respond to that, and we just need to let God speak, and we need to mind our own business and do what he tells us to do instead of trying to change it. So to start off with, it was God's business to send the Son. You go back to Genesis 3:15, "And I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." This is a prophecy of the coming of the Son. Isaiah 53, the messianic prophecy, talks about Christ's coming. John 3:16, a verse that so many people love, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." So in John 3:16, that only begotten Son is that seed that was spoken of in Genesis 3:15. Genesis 3:15, John 3:16. And in Romans 5 and verse 8, Paul writes, "But God demonstrated his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." So it was God's business to send the Son. Well, what is man's business? It's man's business to believe in the Son and accept him. People don't want to do that today. They don't want to mind their own business. Jesus said in John 8:24, "Therefore I said to you that you will die in your sins, for if you do not believe that I am he, you will die in your sins." Man has got to accept Jesus Christ or else we're going to die in our sins. In chapter 12, He who rejects me and does not receive my words as that which judges him, the word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day. That is the standard of judgment. It's what Christ spoke, not what we think, what we feel, what somebody said. It's our business to believe in the Son and accept him. The disciples, Jesus asked them, "From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more," in John chapter 6. Jesus said to the 12, "Do you also want to go away?" But Simon Peter answered and said, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." Friends, we can't find salvation anywhere else other than Christ. It's our business to believe in the Son and accept him. Well, it was the Holy Spirit's business to give us the Bible. Peter writes in 1 Peter 1:21, "For prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit." So the Holy Spirit revealed the mind of God to men to write down. Jesus told his disciples in John chapter 12, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Going on in John chapter 15, verse 26, but when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. So the Holy Spirit that comes is going to say the same thing that I did. He's going to testify that I am the Son of God. And in chapter 16 and verse 13, however, when the Spirit of truth has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. So it's the Holy Spirit's business to give us the Bible. And John 16, 13 is interesting because it says, he will guide you into all truth. He was speaking to the disciples. The Holy Spirit was going to guide them into all truth. So do we have all the truth today? Absolutely. Because he directed the apostles of what to write. We aren't looking for some revelation today. So it was the Holy Spirit's business to give us the Bible. It's man's business to accept the Bible and follow it, not change it. We need to mind our own business. God has his part. We have our part. There are warnings throughout the Bible about not following God's word. You go back to the old law, Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 2. You shall not add to the word which I command you, nor take away from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you. So back from the beginning, they were told, when God speaks, you don't mess with his word. You don't add to it. You don't take away from it. You go into some places today, they don't even use the word. They've come up with their own doctrine, their own system of beliefs. Or they say, well, you can take the Bible and believe it if you want to, or you don't have to. No. The Holy Spirit, it was his business to give us the Bible. It's our business to follow it and not change it. Revelation 22 and verse 18. For I attest to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book, if anyone adds to these things, God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of this book, of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the book of life, from the holy city, and from the things which are written in the book. So that sounds like it's pretty serious if we mess with God's word. It is. It is. We can't, again, this is repeating in a different form what Moses said back in Deuteronomy. We can't add to it. We can't take away from it. If we add to it, the plagues written in that book will be added to us. If we take away from it, God will take away our part from the book of life, from the holy city. So it's a serious thing. We've got to accept the Bible and follow it. And in Galatians chapter 1, Paul wrote, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than that which we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. You stop and think about this. Surely if an angel came and spoke to me, I should listen to that angel, right? Right? No, Paul said, you don't do that. Don't let, even if an angel from heaven preach any other gospel, let him be accursed. We follow what the Holy Spirit has revealed to us. Period. It was the Holy Spirit's business to give us the plan of salvation. Man didn't come up with the plan of salvation. The Holy Spirit did. He said through Paul in Romans 10:13, "For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." So we know we have to hear the word of God. "How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher?" So we know that part of the plan of saving someone is they've got to hear the word of God. When they hear the word, what do they have to do? They have to believe it. But without faith, Hebrews 11:6, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So I hear the word of God, I believe it, and then I'm saved. No. When I hear the word of God, I realize that I have sinned, and I need to repent of those sins. And in Luke 13 and verse 3, I tell you, no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Because if we do not turn from our sins, we still have that guiltiness on us. We have to confess Christ. Matthew 10:32. "Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven." And as we've pointed out in the last couple weeks studying the book of Romans, to confess Christ at that time could cost someone their life. We aren't faced at this point with it costing us our life, yet we're afraid to confess Christ sometimes. And we know too that when the plan of salvation, we have to be baptized. Peter said to them, "Repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit," Acts 2:38. And why do we have to be baptized? Because that is where we come in contact with the blood of Christ. And God stated back in the Old Testament that it was through the blood, he required the blood as the atonement for sins. And if we do not have our sins washed away, then we are lost. So it was the Holy Spirit's business to give us the plan of salvation. He did that. Period. Well, what's man's part? It's man's business to obey the plan. And you think about all the time, all the men involved, everything that happened to reveal this plan. You think about that with any of God's plans that he has had for us, and then we say, "Oh, that's okay, I'll just do it my way." No, we can't do that. God had this plan in mind before the foundation of the world. So it's our business to obey the plan. The Hebrew writer says, "How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard him?" If we don't accept Christ, if we don't obey this plan, there's no other hope for us. We have faith in this plan. It was revealed to us. It was confirmed. It was attested by signs and wonders and miracles. It was attested to by the fact that Christ and the prophet said that he would die. He would be in the grave 3 days, and on the third day he would rise. Christ being the first fruits from the dead to rise and never die again. It was prophesied about the Holy Spirit coming with power. The Holy Spirit came on that first Pentecost after the resurrection of Christ. We have this plan that has been laid out before the foundation of the world, took centuries to fulfill, attested to, certified, verified. It's our business to obey it. Peter writes in 1 Peter chapter 4, "For the time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God. And if it begins with us first, what will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God?" And what's going to happen if we don't obey this plan? Paul, when he wrote to the Thessalonians, said that Christ is going to return in flaming fire, taking on vengeance on those, number one,
who do not know God, and number two, and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. These will be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. 2 Thessalonians 1:8.
Well, isn't God a harsh, mean, cruel God if Christ is going to come back in fire, flaming fire with vengeance, taking vengeance on those who do not obey the gospel, punish them with everlasting destruction? Friends, Christ and the Father are just doing what we have chosen to do ourselves. We make the choice. God tells us, you do this, this is going to be the blessing. You do this, this is going to be the curse. This is going to be the punishment. We either choose to go to heaven by living the right way, or we choose to go to hell by living as we want to, selfishly. God is just going to honor our choice. Christ is just going to honor our choice. He's going to come back in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of Christ. What do we need to do? We need to mind our own business and obey the gospel. That's our part. That's what we need to do. In Acts 2:40, with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. We need to mind our own business, obey this plan, and share it with others also so that they will not be lost. Well, it was God's business to forgive man of sin. Some people don't understand that that's God's part. It was God's part. Matthew 6:12, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Acts 8:22, repent therefore this your wickedness and pray God if perhaps the thought of your heart may be forgiven you. John 20:23, if you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. This was a promise that the Holy Spirit would come to the apostles and authorize them to lay down the conditions on which one could be forgiven, the conditions of which sin could be remitted. And neither is it man's business to forgive himself or to forgive the sins of others. Yet so many people, again, they get God's business mixed up, man's business mixed up, and some say it's not God's business to forgive sin. Some man can forgive sin. The Bible doesn't teach that. It doesn't teach that. And then you take that a step further, and some people will say, well, I've forgiven myself, so I don't need any more forgiveness. You know, I did something terrible back here in the past. I've learned to get over that, so I've forgiven myself, so I can just go on with my life. Friends, you can't do that. It's God's business to forgive man of sin. It's God's business to forgive man of sin according to the conditions that he laid down that the Holy Spirit revealed in the Word. We have to repent of those sins. We have to turn from those sins. If there's a situation where we need to make something right with somebody, we need to make that right. It's God's business to forgive man of sin. People don't get that today. It was Christ's business to found the church. In Matthew 16:18, I say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. Jesus said he would build his church. He didn't say he would build the Baptist, the Pentecostal, the Mormon, the Jehovah's Witness, the Seventh-day Adventist. He said, I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. In Acts 20 and verse 28,
Paul, writing to the elders at Ephesus, he says, "Therefore take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood." You see, the church is a blood-bought institution. The only blood that could buy the church was the precious blood of the Lamb of God, the precious blood of Christ that was shed on the cross. It was Christ's business to found the church. These men, John Smith, Joseph Smith, William Miller, these men and hundreds of others, they had no authority to found a church, to establish a church. Did they shed their blood for the church that they founded? And if they did shed their blood, it wouldn't make any difference because they didn't live perfectly. They weren't the ones that were prophesied. They weren't the ones that were prophesied. It was Christ's business to found the church. So what do we do? It's our business to become a member of that church. Not look for some other church. We need to mind our own business. We don't need to get into the church founding business. We don't need, like that organization I was showing you of in class this morning, we don't need to go out and set up some 501c3 and put a religious name up and start something else. It was Christ's business to found the church. Well, if that was his business to found the church, what is our business? It's man's business to comply with the terms of admission into it. In many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, "Be saved from this perverse generation." Then those who gladly received the word were baptized, and about that day there were 3,000 souls were added to them. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, with the breaking of bread and in prayers. Acts 2:47. Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Well, what if some man goes out and wants to start his own church? Well, the Bible speaks of that also. Matthew 15:13. He answered and said, "Every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted. Let them alone. They are blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both will fall into the ditch." Those churches, God isn't going to remove them right now. He's going to wait till later, till the judgment. And all of those trees, all of those churches that were planted are going to be uprooted and cast into that fire. Well, it's man's business to comply with the terms of admission that he may be added. To take that a step further, it's the Lord's business to add to the church. Man doesn't do that. The keys of the kingdom were given to the apostles. Matthew 16:19, "I'll give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Matthew 18:18, "Assuredly, I say to you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." And what did they do? They opened the door of the church in Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost, and that door to the church has been opened ever since then. For any and everybody that wants to mind their own business and do what God said to do to come into it. Now, I've got this certificate of church membership up here. I know some people have baptismal certificates. There's nothing wrong with having a baptismal certificate, but just keep in mind, that's just a piece of paper. That piece of paper on the day of judgment isn't going to do any good. It's what you did. There are different churches. They'll put your name on a piece of paper,
That doesn't mean the Lord added you to the church. You have to follow the conditions, the terms that were laid down by the Holy Spirit. It's the Lord's business to add to the church. Well, you come along, and I'm sure this has happened way before us, but as I said, the door was open on the day of Pentecost, and it has remained open, but some people want to close the door to the church. As I was looking for slides to go along with this, it was interesting. They had this church closed, stay at home, COVID-19. I hope we learned something from that. And there were all kinds of things that were done in the name of being the good for the people. But this is just one of the news clippings. Mayor in Mississippi outlaws in-person church services. Christians ticketed $500 each for meeting in cars. Man wants to shut the church down. God tells us to come together and assemble. Man says, we don't want you to do that. If you do that, we're going to punish you. We're going to fine you. And here, and like quite a few places did this, where they would broadcast and it would come across the radios in your cars, and members would come together and meet in a parking lot. And even with that, they were ticketing people $500 for coming to the church parking lot. Man was trying to close the doors of the church. Something else to think about. It's the Lord's business to judge. And I know you're going to say, but preacher, you've told us you need to judge people. You need to compare what's right and with what's wrong, and let them know because their soul is at stake. And that is true. That is true. But so many times we use baptism as the standard of somebody being saved. Well, that person was baptized. They might believe a little bit differently than I do. They might want to do this. They might want to be involved in that. But who am I to judge? I'll just let God be the judge. And they use baptism as the gold standard whether or not someone is going to heaven. There are so many other passages that talk about what we must do to be saved. And one chapter that always comes to mind is in Matthew 25, where Jesus is talking about the judgment day and parting the sheep, separating the sheep from the goats. And he doesn't mention baptism there. He mentions six categories of service. And this is, again, just a partial list. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. So get this in your mind. This is what he is using as the standard of judgment. He's going to say, I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. And they would say, but Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked and sick and in prison? And he said, to the least that you did to these, you did it to me. Our judgment is going to be based on so many things. But I want us to think about the other side of the coin. When I tell somebody, you know, according to the Bible, and I'm trying to use fair and impartial judgment, I can't say that that person is going to go to heaven. And they say, I'll just let God be the judge. I'll just let God be the judge. But they would call me hypocritical for judging somebody. But then what do? They are hypocritical because they are saying everybody's going to go to heaven. You know, Uncle Joe, my grandpa, my neighbor next door that died, they're in heaven. Oh, have you judged them already? Are you the judge? Have you judged them? We'll let God judge them and see if they are in heaven. We'll let God judge all those people that you say are already there before there's even been a judgment. That's God's business. There are people that I hope are going to be in heaven, but I can't say so-and-so's in heaven. It's the Lord's business to judge. It's man's business to preach the gospel as God gave it. Galatians 1, 8 and 9, again. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again. If anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. To do so is not judging, it is obeying God. Friends, we've got to follow God's word. We've got to get back to the Bible. So many people don't want to even open the Bible. The troubles in the religious world are the result of man's getting away from his own business and trying to mind the business of God. Again, as we're talking with our friends and neighbors, co-workers, we just need to point this out to them. There's God's part, there's our part. We need to let God do his part. We need to mind our own part. We need to be studying God's word so that we know what we need to do. And then, as we talked about this morning in Romans, present ourselves a living sacrifice, which is only a reasonable service. And we do it with joy and happiness because of all the blessings that our Heavenly Father has already given us and all of those that he has promised to give us when he comes back if we are faithful to him. Friends, if there's anyone here this morning that needs prayers, needs to make confession, needs to respond to the gospel in any way, we invite you to come forward now as we stand and sing.